2015, an elite DFS Army Commando unit formed to bring high-level DFS strategy to the masses. Today, hated by DFS sharks and lineup sellers alike, they continue their quest to turn Joe into DFS pro.
Good afternoon, everybody. This is your DFS Army Daily Dispatch brought to you by DFSArmy.com. And I am your host today, Boomer's Daddy. And joining me is the one, the only, the guy that even I listen to, Shy. What's up, Bear?
Hey, man. How you doing?
Oh, you know, wife's gone for the next 36 hours, and she's probably going to listen to this on her way down to Dallas, by the way, at least the beginning part, she has no idea what's about to happen in this house.
She definitely doesn't, but I think she might have a small idea, but, yeah, by the way, I'm hopeful you played this all last night after our conversation.
I only played two lineups. I had Deadman and who's the other guy I had? It wasn't Gasol, and only because of the limited number of lineups that I had.
Sure.
It just didn't fit like the build that I wanted and everything.
Yeah, he was pricey. If you ended up with Miles Turner, you were happy.
Jokic. And it was just that game just became a blowout, so
yeah, it did. But Millsap got there before.
yeah. It was I was kicking myself as soon as I did. Now I felt like if that game was close, the Lakers game, then Jokic probably would have outscored him for cheaper, so I was still happy with the move.
Yeah.
But, you know, it was one of those things. Lonzo going out hurt me in one of my lineups. I didn't quite get the build that I wanted. You know, LeBron James was in that one. Jamal Murray didn't have a good game. A lot of those Nuggets were hurt kind of by the blowout. So, but I was happy with Dwayne Dedman at 1.1% owned. Noah Vonleh kind of had a clunker, but we had his ownership pegged. You know, Monte Morris was, you know, 10%. So it was one of those things. Like Trae Young had the night that we thought he would.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Booker, Collison, they did what we thought they would. Blake kind of underperformed a little bit along with Justice Winslow. You know, and then, you know, the Lakers Denver game was, you know, the blowout. So,
yeah,
those were my main guys, and still crushed cash games, every single one of them. But
same here. By the way, swept all my head to heads.
Yep. I think I went 27 out of 30.
Nice.
So,
almost 15 for 15.
Nice winning track again. So,
yeah.
Got a nice little 10 game slate, nice 10 game slate today, and I had a request that we want to that we should talk about here.
Uh-huh.
We've got, if we look at the positions today, and we always go by position eligibility for FanDuel because it goes quicker, we've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 guys over 10k, and actually you can technically go, there's 5 guys over 11k. okay. They want to talk about FOMO, which is the fear of missing out. On a 10-game slate, you have to take a stand. You have to decide where you want to go, and you have to ride with it, and you can't be worried about missing out on an 80 from Anthony Davis. You can't be worried about missing out on a ceiling game from one of these guys that you are choosing to fade, because obviously you can't play them all in the same lineup. There's just not enough salary cap to go around, obviously. And you are lucky if there's enough value that's going to open up that you can fit two and still fit a decent sized roster around them.
Right.
I would be pressed, hard pressed to say that you're not going to be able to fit Giannis and Anthony Davis in your lineup together. You might be able to fit Russ and Embiid, and I know you can, because I know you can fit Russ and Harden in the lineup. The original optimal this morning on the original projections had Russ and Harden both in the same lineup. So,
oh wow, nice.
You can pull like two of the cheaper studs off, but you're not going to be able to pull any of these other guys. Now, the question is what can you fit around it? What kind of value opens up to be able to still give you a decent chance on actually, you know, not only cashing, but, you know, pushing the top 3 to 5 or 3 to 1% in your tournaments. For me, I've been playing, and I know you have been too. We've been playing long enough that we know that it's going to happen. We make the decisions based on our research, and we live or die with the consequences, or the rewards. I don't worry about, you know, missing out on a guy's ceiling game, because especially with these studs, like if I play Russ, I don't worry about missing out on a Harden because I know that Russ can match Harden. You know, if I play Harden, I don't worry about missing out on a Davis because I know that, you know, Davis can match, or Harden can match Davis. So the only way that I think that you really start to worry about missing out on these guys is if you decide you want to fade them all, which, you know, could be a viable strategy in a large field GPP tournaments, hoping that they all kind of just do barely basic, you know, what they should do. Don't go over and don't really exceed that 5x type of value, or even get close to it. And then you've got a bunch of guys that hit their ceiling games, or you go off and it works. So that's my kind of basic thought. I've long said that, you know, depending on price and situation, it kind of dictates on where I'm going with guys.
Of course.
You know, if Chris Paul is back in today, then I'm probably not playing Harden. You know, if, you know, Chris Middleton or Eric Bledsoe are out, then, you know, you can probably load up on Giannis. I mean, it's just, it's kind of one of those things that, you know, depending on what happens, and not saying that any of those situations would happen, you know, obviously the Chris Paul situation could, but,
yeah,
you know, the other ones are just hypothetical. I'm not saying that, you know, I've made my decision, but based on the information and the knowledge that we have right now, I can tell you that I'm not playing, you know, a couple of these guys, because I've got other guys that I want to play and want to use that salary for, and I'm more comfortable having the lineup without two of these studs, you know, and only playing one of them. At least tonight, as of right now.
Makes sense.
So that's kind of how I handle it. You know, I don't worry about missing a ceiling game.
I mean, you can't. I mean, it's you can't. That's not you can't play like that. Now, if you want to play like that, throw a bunch of money at it. Do 100 lineups, right?
Yeah, exactly.
And then you won't have to worry about it. But other than that, I mean, yeah, it doesn't work like that. I agree.
Yep. I mean, I took a risk the other night and it didn't pay off, but I did still take the risk. You know, I played Harden over Kevin Durant for more expensive, and it ended up biting me. But, you know, that doesn't happen too often. I mean, just because you miss out on a Kevin Durant putting up a 77 doesn't mean that, you know, you're not going to cash. Now, if you faded Harden and Durant, probably tough to cash in most of your cash games. But, you know, if you're only playing one of them, then you're still, as long as your process is solid and sound, then you're still in a good spot.
Yeah.
So, all right. So we've got 10 games, got a lot to get to today. So we're not going to dilly-dally around anymore. Let's start at the point guard position. Got to start with Russ against Cleveland.
The only fear here, I mean, so here's the thing. At this price, I mean, he's probably the stud I'll have the most because he's under 12K. He's 11-1. I think a lot of people are like, oh, Russ isn't the same. Guys, Russ is the exact same. Here's the difference between, say, last season and this season. They're actually blowing teams out now. Not every team, but they have been. Russ hasn't played 38 minutes in some of these games because they were up by 25. He's got another scorer in Schroeder. He's obviously got Paul George. Obviously, he's got Steven Adams. Jeremy Grant's playing really well. So he's got enough around him to where some of these games are ugly. Now, having said all that, Cleveland is playing inspired basketball. I really didn't think I would be saying this a month into the season, but they are. They're winning games. They beat the Sixers. They beat the Wolves. I mean, they're playing well. So I actually think this game might be decent.
Yeah, we're not blowing out. We're not blowing out the Cavaliers
in terms of close. So this is where I want to get Russ, where it's in a game that, number one, at home. Number two, I am confident that I'll get four quarters out of Russ at 11K. Yeah, that's where I want my Russ.
Yep.
Versus Colin Sexton, who he should absolutely destroy.
Yep. I mean, they were, if you look at just some of the game flows, they were in that game in the fourth quarter against Minnesota. They beat Philly, you know, they beat Houston. They were in that game against the Lakers. It was only a 4-point game then. They did kind of get handled a little bit by Detroit, but, they got, you know, kind of waxed by Washington. But that was coming off of a inspired emotional win against Charlotte where they just absolutely blew them out. So three out of their last 7 games, they've actually won. Unlike earlier in the season where they were just getting absolutely blown out every single, you know, time they turned around, you know, they've actually been in competition and in the game in the fourth quarter. We're not blowing out the Cavs. The only way that we do that is, you know, if Russ and Paul George and Dennis Schroeder are both involved, and Steven Adams. We need an all-around sound game because, like you said, we're actually blowing teams out. The final scores might be like that, but
right.
We're not blowing them out until the fourth quarter.
Right.
You know, the Golden State game. You know, I said we had a 16-point lead at halftime. I said, look, this is going to be a one-possession game in the third quarter at some point. And lo and behold, it only took 3 minutes to get there, but it got there. And then we kind of pulled away again. We only won by 10 against Phoenix. We beat the Knicks kind of handily, but, you know, they're the Knicks. Phoenix, you know, in Oklahoma City, that game was close until the fourth quarter. You know, but we got kind of handled by Dallas. I mean, we're playing good basketball, but this isn't like some gimme.
Yeah, and that's kind of the point, right? Even with their recent winning ways, people are going to see Cleveland and think they're going to get crushed. They're probably not. It's probably going to be a close game. In fact, I like a few players from this game on both sides, both teams. Mm-hmm. So that's where we stand on Russ.
Yep. Let's talk about Kemba Walker here. He's going up against Atlanta. Atlanta is on the back end of a back-to-back. Could be without a couple key guys tonight as well. I like Kemba. Obviously, at home, Kemba is a great Kemba. I am a little bit worried about the back end of a back-to-back for Atlanta being able to keep this close and not getting the ceiling out of him. I think he's fine for cash, but I would be lying if I said I wasn't a little worried about him in tournaments.
Yeah, I mean, I can see it. I certainly see it. I mean, you know, I also... sorry, man, I just had some weird thing. I'm advertisement pop up on my screen. The thing about it is, so I'm trying to. It looks like Huerder. Can I pronounce his name?
Huerder.
From the Hawks is probably not going to play. I mean, he's questionable, so we'll see. But what that means to me is that means we're going to have you know, back to the normal Bazemore. Now I'm trying. What I was trying to do when I got that weird thing pop up was see how many minutes he played last night. So I'll do it in a minute. But as we know, we talked about at length, you know, he didn't 26. Start. He came off the bench. There you go. So he played 26 minutes. So I think we're going to see a little more inspired ball by Bazemore. And he only played 26 minutes. He, you know, he's one of the older players on the team, but he's really young. So, you know, let's see. So Trae Young played 31 minutes. Collins, 29. Prince, 32. Denman only played 19. And then Bazemore played the second highest most off the bench at 26.
Yeah, I think that game was out of hand, too, at one point.
It was pretty out of hand. Yeah, it got really up.
You know, Cam Bazemore, he's... He's 29 years old. He's not some old dude that, you know, needs a lot of rest. I would tend to agree with you on that. I just kind of look at this game and I see, okay, Charlotte just lost to Atlanta in Atlanta. They now get him at home. Kemba's 9,700. He's at home, but is he really going to hurt me?
I mean, if what I'm saying stays true in the sense that, you know, the game stays somewhat close, yeah, he can. If it stays close.
Can he get 56?
Of course he can. We've seen him do it all year.
Okay. We've
seen it all year.
Like I said, I don't mind it for cash. And one of the reasons why is I think that I can't believe I'm going to say this. I think John Wall's a better play today.
Oh boy, what did you do with Keith? Is he there?
Well, when you put John Wall at 93, which is 400 less than Kemba, and you put him against New Orleans,
absolutely,
then you pique my interest.
Mine too.
A lot. I mean,
mine too.
On DK, it's a little bit closer considering it's only 200 apart.
Yeah,
but on FanDuel, it doesn't even seem like it's a question to me.
It's not.
The
only question is, are you not playing Russell and playing Kemba and Wall together, right?
I mean, you can, but right now I've got Russ and John Wall in my lineup together.
Yeah, that's not a bad idea.
So, I mean, it's just the way that my build is going right now. I mean, I like a better part. I like somebody else. I can still get Kemba exposure through other parts of the Hornets, mainly a guy that we'll talk about here in just a minute. But I just something drastically would have to change in order for me to, you know, flip it.
Yeah.
And I don't foresee that happening yet.
Yeah, and so let's continue the topic on the wall. I mean, it seems like they are starting to play basketball again. You know, the other night was the first night I saw where they were moving the ball. They were smiling. They were actually enjoying playing some ball. They looked like they were starting to put it together, the Wizards. They get a really big challenge here in the Pelicans. Record aside, Pelicans are a really, really good team. They have no idea who they're going to get to stop Anthony Davis, which we'll discuss. I mean, I know who they'll try to put on him, but which we'll discuss. Guys, I just want to make one thing clear for everyone. This game has a total of 241. It's like not even close to any other game on the slate. 241.
The next highest is the Charlotte Atlanta game at 232,
which is a 12 point spread. This one is a 6.5.
Yeah.
I mean, so you're gonna get a lot of ownership in this game to these pieces: Anthony Davis, John Wall, Bradley Beal, maybe even Jrue Holiday. You're gonna get a lot of ownership there. Just letting everybody know. And we'll talk about some of the other pieces of this game that might go lower owned that you can still get your exposure to.
Yeah, absolutely. It's one of those things, like, you know, he put up 40, but he didn't play a lot in the fourth quarter. He only played 34 minutes, and you know, this is a guy that when he plays 35 or more minutes, you know, he's going to touch that 50 to 55 mark. And I think at the decreased price tag now, I think this is the smart play here.
Yeah, I don't disagree. And also, one thing about those minutes, Satoransky and Austin Rivers came in and just started really, like, they brought them back into the game.
Yep.
And that's, like any good coach would do.
Oh, no, I was talking about the New Orleans games, not the Houston game.
Oh, I see.
Gotcha. But I do agree with you. In Houston, like, you know, those two got hot, and okay, we need to win, so we're going to ride with the hot hand.
I mean, they got us here. That's how coaches work, right?
Yep.
Second unit brings you back, second unit stays in. That's just the way it goes.
Yep. Okay, two guys here at 9,500, then we'll move on to some of these lower guys. Ben Simmons and Damian Lillard. I actually don't think I have interest in either of them. And it's mainly because of the John Wall being at 93 and the matchup and everything.
I think I'm in the same boat, but I think given how Simmons has not had the massive games lately, I think you'll probably see significantly lower ownership there. And if you're telling me he's going up against the Knicks at home, who just played last night, it's certainly a concern. I mean, the Sixers are not they're a good team, right? They're not the Knicks. So the Knicks have been playing decent, but they've also been getting waxed here and there. So it's a larger field play. You can certainly put Ben Simmons. He'll probably be around 8 to 9% in the large fields, which is nice. You know, the Magic are going to be without Aaron Gordon. I don't know how, you know, they've been traveling. They've been playing, what, three games in four nights, the Magic?
Looking it up.
Or 4 days, because they play the Lakers during the 12:30 game.
Yeah, they've been on this West Coast road thing for a while, so
that kind of scares me. Going into Portland, I mean, that's not an easy place to win for any team.
Yeah, and they're not done yet, guys. So the Magic are about to become off limits, I would say.
Pretty
and
close,
here's,
man.
And here's the reason why. They left on, I would probably say they left Thanksgiving, considering they had to go all the way out to Denver. On the 23rd, on the 25th, they went to L.A., then they went to Golden State. Now they're going to Portland. They still have to go to Phoenix and Miami before they come home on December 5th. So we're talking about a 6-game road swing. It is tied for their largest of the season. They have another one the end of December into the first part of the year, that's 6 games, that, you know, starts in the Midwest and also ends up out West as well. But I'm not really interested in a lot of Magic tonight. And that actually kind of lowers my interest, because they've played two hard-fought games.
Yeah.
The only Magic guy that I have that I might be interested in is DJ Augustine. And that's just because the point guard value today is absolutely just complete dog crap.
Yeah, I mean, Augustine, maybe some Terrence Ross again, maybe even some Jonathan Simmons if Gordon sits. I mean, there are some plays. I'm not going to go play the high dollar guys. I mean, believe me, I would love to play Vooch and tell myself that the game is going to be close, but I'm not being honest with myself. So.
Yep. All right. Let's Do you think Paul plays tonight?
I really have no idea, man. Hamstrings is something that you just, it's not cut and dry. You know, it depends on the day. It depends on kind of the swing of the, you know, luck, if you will. So I really don't have one inclination or another.
Let me give you a little bit of a, they travel to San Antonio on Friday. So they're not on like some huge, like they don't have any back-to-backs to worry about right now. Their next back-to-back isn't, how did they get so lucky? Their next back-to-back isn't until the 13th and 14th of January.
Whoa.
Like, so it's one on, one off for most of these times, except for when they go from Minnesota to Houston, they've got 3 days of rest. I don't think he plays, to be honest.
Yeah.
That's how I'm approaching this slate as of right now, which is kind of scary because, like, I didn't know about the hamstring before the last game when he sat. I thought it was just a rest management type of thing, considering his age. But I'm approaching the slate as if he's sitting right now.
Yeah.
Just because it is the hamstring, and we know those are touchy. Eric Bledsoe going against Chicago. Absolutely love his spot tonight. He just had a really good game. You know, we know that players generally tend to perform better at home. I have a lot of interest in Mr. Bledsoe at 7,400.
I mean, it's hard not to, man. I mean, look, it's going to be one of those situations where you're going to have to kind of pick and choose which Bucks you want, right? Like I don't mind playing Bledsoe and Giannis. I'm fine with that. I don't mind playing Bledsoe and Middleton. Okay with that too. I'm definitely not going to play all three of those, right?
No.
And there's another shooting guard here that I like too from the Bucks, who's cheaper, that I can get, that helps you get your exposure too. But I mean, if you're not going to play Giannis, I think you have to have some exposure to this game just because of the soft defense on the Bulls side. You know, so you got to have some of that. This game, it's got a pretty high total, a little bit higher than I expected, but the spread is massive. 227.5. Looks like the Bucks are favored by 14.5. That's really high.
Yep.
That's Vegas telling you they're going to get killed.
Yep. Half the games are, you know, have over a 10-point spread tonight. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Yeah, half of them do. I would say that probably three of them do not blow out. We've already talked about one in OKC in Cleveland. And I would say probably two of the lower spread games probably do. So I think there's going to be some blowouts tonight, but I don't think it's going to be – you know, Vegas is very good at what they do, but I don't think that they're going to pay. They haven't pegged all of them either. So I couldn't tell you which ones aren't or are going to blow out because I honestly couldn't have no clue. But I don't think that all of the double digit spreads are gonna be there. So
yeah. I'm with you there. So they. They priced up Jeff Teague.
Oh, boy, did they.
And I've been playing him since he came back, man. And he was in, like, the 6,500 or lower range, and it was great. Well, now he's at 6,900. And going up against the Spurs, which is fine. But that's too much of a price for me to pay.
Yep.
There's players that I like more. You going back to Trae Young?
No, not tonight.
Makes two of us. So we got word that Donovan Mitchell is available to play.
Yeah, we got word about that yesterday.
We got word today that Royce O'Neal is questionable, which means they're probably pretty confident that, that Mitchell's going to play.
Right.
So where does that put you on Ricky Rubio?
As of right now, I like Ricky Rubio. He's in my initial Boomers Ballers play sheet. He's not a core player or anything like that, but he is an option because of the fact that it is Brooklyn. Yeah. We do not know kind of how Donovan Mitchell is going to respond or if he's going to be limited at all. As we get more information, that could change. But because of the fact that Royce O'Neal's out, because of the fact that Ricky Rubio is only 6,800, because of the fact that it is going into Brooklyn, so it is going from west to east, but it is still Brooklyn.
Right.
I do think he is an option. And you look at the guys around him, you know, you've got Spencer Dinwiddie, who I actually like a little bit more than Rubio, but the same boat. And then you've got Derrick Rose, no thank you. And you got Trae Young. So there's not a lot in this mid-tier option once you get below 7K, between, you know, 6 and 7K that I really, really like. And if that's just where your build leads you, then I don't mind it. He's not somebody I'm making sure to get in my lineups.
Right.
But, you know, he is an option there. So he's not getting the dreaded X.
Okay. Yeah, I'm on the fence too. It's because he's at 6,800 now. So that's kind of where I'm like, he's kind of have to have a, you know, close to a ceiling game to really win you tournaments. Cash games, I'm fine with him again because he does what he does. But I need that. If ever a team to do a seal to have a ceiling game, it's Brooklyn, right? So yeah, I'm with you there.
I actually like somebody cheaper though for better.
Yeah, so do I. I think we might be talking about the same guy. Go ahead.
Shai Gilgeous-Alexander.
Yeah,
going to play close to 30 minutes. He's under 6K. Absolutely love him here going into Phoenix. If I don't have a Russell Westbrook, John Wall lineup, this is probably where I'm going. I don't like anything below him. Like I said, JJ was an option, but now that Dennis Smith Jr. is actually going to be available, mm-hmm. I don't like that anymore.
Yeah.
DJ Augustine is there, but, mm-hmm. you know, if that game gets out of hand, then, you know, he's coming off the bench and Jerian Grant's going to run the game.
Right.
So this might be the value option-ish type thing.
He's my value play. I mean,
you know, at the position tonight.
It's hard to deny that. Between him and Augustine, man, those are the two guys. I mean, you can even look at, you know, Archie Diacono, maybe. Don't like it too much.
Archie Diacono.
Isn't that what I said?
I'm just letting you know that I finally learned how to pronounce it because okay. He's become relevant.
Yeah, he certainly has. Good for him. But yeah, I mean, for me in that sub 6K range, it's gonna be SGA for sure.
Yep.
And I might if Chris Paul ends up sitting, I might play Dennis Smith Jr. I'm kind of on the fence.
No, I can't. Not coming off of an injury, first game back. On a 10-game slate.
Well, here's the thing. It was a wrist injury. And
that
was
makes
one
it where, even worse for me.
Yeah, but it was one where he could have played last game. They wanted to be extra careful. Right? He was already ready to go last game. So, for me, when I'm playing a tournament with 100,000 people, everyone's going to look at him and, oh, no. He just came back from a wrist injury. No way.
That's
the play. That's kind of where I'm looking.
Okay, so let me throw you out. Because Luka Doncic and Dwight Powell and Dennis Smith Jr. are all questionable. Now, we've got word that Dennis Smith will be available to play. If Doncic is out,
yep.
I like the play a lot more. And then that would probably bring Wesley Matthews into play, who we'll talk about mm-hmm. here in just a minute. Mm-hmm. But if all of these guys, you know, in the backcourt are healthy, I don't know if I can do it. Not when I can get SGA for a couple hundred cheaper.
Oh, I'm talking about playing both of them. I'm talking about
talking about fading like Wall and Westbrook, all of the top end, and loading up on the bottom end and Correct. Playing these two value guys. Now, Correct. That's interesting.
That's where I'm looking at. Because, you know, the thing is, and I've told most of our members and subscribers this 1,000 times, in tournaments, one of my favorite things to do is pay up for point guards. That's just what I always like to do. And you mentioned before, you had Wall and Russ, right? I mean, that's got Bear written all over it. But at the same time, on a night like tonight, where you've got so much strength at the top of the point guards, Westbrook, Kemba, Wall, Lillard, Simmons, right? You got some pretty big names out there. I kind of like these two guys because both of them are in a really up-tempo matchup, right? Dennis Smith Jr. versus Houston, obviously, and then versus Phoenix for the Clippers. And by the way, for Alexander, even if the Clippers destroy the Suns, he's still going to play. He's a rookie. He's still going to get his minutes. So I'm not even concerned there. These guys are in the matchups where they can crush their value. So that's kind of how I'm looking at it. And in constructions where the other roster constructions where some of the other folks will have at least one of the higher priced point guards, that means they're not going to have the same higher priced guy you will have in another position. So I'm just kind of looking at some contrarian thinking there.
No, I would definitely agree with you, and I'm all behind that. I really do like it. Okay, real quick situation. Jeremy Lin is questionable. If he's out, would you have more interest in Trae Young?
I mean, I would kind of have to. I think I would probably have a little more interest in Bazemore.
Okay. So, all right. Let's move on to shooting guard here. James Harden's at the top, obviously. We're going to make this very, very simple for you. If Chris Paul is out, you play him.
Yeah. Easy enough.
Drew Holiday versus Washington. 9K.
I mean, what's there not to love, right? I mean, the thing I think about Drew is he hasn't been, like, hitting you know, the ceiling lately. But yeah, I mean, Washington, they can't defend. They haven't been, so I love it.
I don't mind it as part of like a game stack and getting exposure in that game. I like the mid tier too much in this, like I don't know how much I'm going to be paying over 8K for a shooting guard today. And I might even have a hard time paying over 7K.
Fair enough.
He's definitely, you know, in this game with this total, he's definitely in play. That's not hard to kind of figure out. But for me, the way that the build's going right now, I'm not finding too much of him. In fact, if I run 100 lineups on FanDuel on the DS right now, he doesn't pop in one.
Wow.
So, DeMar DeRozan against Mini.
I mean, it's a good spot for him. I mean, I think we can agree with that. It's a really good spot for him. Here's what I don't like about it. So the Spurs as a whole, they're not a very fast-paced team, right? So most of their games, you can kind of say the same thing about. But if I'm playing DeRozan, I'm matching him up with Aldridge or pairing him up with Aldridge. That's kind of the only scenario where I want to pay $8,800. I've been stacking these two for a while. It's been working out for the most part. Just kind of like Conley and Gasol have been lately. So if I'm doing playing DeRozan, it's because I want to play Aldridge with him.
I like that. That's probably where I would have to lean. Zach LaVine, Jimmy Butler, Devin Booker.
So one of the things that we started to see is shooting guards versus Milwaukee is a thing. And you know, if you're going to go and play the Bucks, right? We talked about Bledsoe, we talked about Giannis, we talked about Middleton, and, you know, another guy here coming up here soon. You're going to have to play at least one bull. And if you're going to play a bull, it's, I mean, Zach LaVine is the best bull. So, I mean, there's more you can play, which we'll cover, but if you're going to play one or two or three Bucks, then you should probably play at least one bull, and that should be LaVine.
I'm finding it very hard to play LaVine. He didn't look comfortable against the length of the Bucks a couple days ago, last week. I made sure to rewatch that, mainly because I wanted to see how Jabari Parker looked in this revenge narrative thing. And he seemed spirited, but he seemed out of control spirited, like more rage rather than revenge. And I don't like rage unless my rage is coming from Russell Westbrook. Who knows how to harness that. But Zach LaVine really didn't look, and it could have just been that his shot looked off, but he didn't look like he had command and control of the offense that night. I'm worried about the length. I'm worried about, because they didn't have Middleton on him, or not Middleton, Brogdon on him. They didn't have Bledsoe on them. They ran Middleton on them a lot. You know, they had Giannis on Jabari. They switched a lot. It just looked like he was confused by what the Bucks were doing defensively, which wouldn't be the first person or first team that they've done this to this year.
Right.
I agree that the shooting guard thing is catching up, but I think this is one of the biggest questions I have on this slate. Like, do I trust what guys have been doing? Or do I, against the Bucks, or do I trust what my eyes showed me in this matchup just barely a week ago?
Yeah, it makes sense. And also keep in mind that Justin Holiday and Jabari Parker were also going off that game. And they were taking away some from him as well.
Justin Holiday, yes, I see. Jabari Parker's just had about the same kind of game that LaVine did. Neither one of them broke 35.
Yeah.
That's what I'm... This is the biggest question, is what am I going to do with the Bulls in this game? Finally, congrats, FanDuel. Seems like you woke up. You priced up Justin Holiday today. Thank you very much. Appreciate that. Sure, he is no longer a plug and play in cash games. So,
sure did. Know. Yeah, I mean, he's not a plug and play, but he's still very much in play. Are you interested at all in Devin Booker?
I haven't decided quite yet. As of right now, I'm leaning no.
Yeah, kind of there too.
I think that he's going to see a ton of Avery Bradley / Patrick Beverley. And at the back end of a back-to-back, you throw in travel. It's not hard travel going from Phoenix to LA, but it still is travel. They did have a long, hard-fought game yesterday that they, you know, played very well in. I don't know.
Yeah, it's a tough play.
Especially when his price jumped.
It did. Yeah. So I'll be in the same boat. I mean, I'll be more than likely staying away as well.
Let's see here. Bradley Beal, obviously, that's part of a game. He's in play. You know, he's 8,200. If I was going to pay over $8,000 for a shooting guard not named James Harden, then it would probably be Beal. For me, though, it's Chris Middleton, Jeremy Lamb. Those are my two favorite plays of the night at this position. And then you could probably throw in Malcolm Brogdon to go along with that.
Yeah, Brogdon was the guy that I'm looking at, too. I think he'll go also under-owned, as probably will Jeremy Lamb, although Jeremy Lamb will be a little more because they'll see the opponent and probably want to pick on that a little bit. But, yeah, Brogdon was the guy we talked about when I said another shooting guard from that game. It was Brogdon, so I actually like him a lot.
Yeah, I like them both right now. I wouldn't pair them up together, but I do like them both. A lot of people don't understand that Malcolm Brogdon is carved out a very significant and quality role. You know, people flock to Bledsoe, they flock to Giannis and Middleton, you know, and with good reason. But Malcolm Brogdon, make no mistake about it, he's the guy off the bench to lead. He can run the point. Obviously, he was drafted as a point guard. He runs with the second unit. He also runs with the first unit at the shooting guard position. Mm-hmm. And they move Giannis down to the four and Middleton to the three. And, you know, it's one of those things. I love Brogdon, and I don't think that he's priced up enough. Think of Dennis Schroeder. The Dennis Schroeder role, except that Brogdon starts and has a more consistent jumper and is cheaper.
Yeah.
Good comparison?
Yeah.
Okay. Donovan Mitchell just received word that he went through shoot around. Donovan Mitchell. Luka Doncic. Any interest there?
Not at 7,800.
Yep. Kind of touched on Donovan Mitchell a little bit. Dennis Schroeder.
I mean, I think this is the spot I want to play Schroeder in. And I say that because, you know, I mean, you know, both of these teams, they have their big kind of, so you know who their big is, right? You obviously Steven Adams, and obviously you got Tristan Thompson. So that's kind of set in stone. I think both teams like to surround their bigs with guards. And so you're going to see a lot of Schroeder, or you're going to see a lot of Jordan Clarkson. You're going to see a lot of Rodney Hood. You're going to see a lot of Kyle Korver if he plays. You're going to see a lot of those guards are surrounded by their bigs. And then you'll have some Larry Nance running the small ball five at sometimes as well. I don't know if I want to play Schroeder with Russ, but when I'm not playing Russ, then I'd like to play Schroeder.
Okay. I like Schroeder. If you're doing the what he's done against Cleveland thing, you can't take that into consideration because that game Russ didn't play. Sure. Remember that Russ went out the previous game in the fourth quarter or third quarter or whatever, and that was the first game that Schroeder, you know, was running the game. So you can't take that into consideration, although at 100% you can't, although you can take it in a little bit. Talked about Kent Bazemore, Justin Holiday. He's priced up. Wesley Matthews looks like he's losing my interest with all these guys possibly being back. Jordan Clarkson, 5,100. I guess he's okay in tournaments, but I'm not really thrilled about it. Alonzo Trier, though.
Yeah.
3,700. Yeah. He went off last night. Now,
he did.
I mentioned him on the podcast, saying that you could take a shot. And then I backed off of him later in the day. Still, absolutely. I don't know if I can go back to him tonight. It feels so much like point chasing. It's not even funny.
No, it really does. But listen, you can go back to him under the premise that you're not expecting the same game, right? You can go back to him because he's $3,700. he's still a drop score candidate on FanDuel for you at that price. So he has another great game. Fantastic. He's in your lineup. He doesn't. He's min price. It's not going to hurt you, right? We know he's been playing over 20 minutes. At least that is consistent. Now, what will hurt us is what we've been talking about for weeks, and that is he's a Knick. And what I don't mean that he's cursed. I mean they've got so many guards there that they rotate all the time that we don't know who's going to get the minutes. We've been saying that for weeks now. And last night it wasn't Burke or Moutier, although they got minutes, but they didn't perform. It was Trier. So Trier played, you know, a significant amount of the game. It's going to be that situation pretty much for the first half of the season, if not the entire season. And I say half of the season because they might actually figure out what they want to do at some point. But for right now, they don't. So I agree with you, it's going to be chasing. I also think it's going to be chasing at higher ownership, which you and I both don't like. But given he's still pretty much as close to min price as can be, I don't hate it.
Yeah, I mean, I'm kind of right there with you with that. It's one of those situations where, you know, if Tom Hardaway ends up dominating the game tonight, then, you know, it really could. You're probably... I either want him to get a 35 or I want him to get a 10. Those are your, and those both are in the range of outcomes, but those are the two outcomes that you want. You want him to go off or you want him to do absolutely nothing, at least on FanDuel. So,
yeah.
Let's move on to small forward here. We've broke down a lot, but we're running behind. So this is going to be a little bit longer than normal. 10 game slate, a lot to get to. Giannis, I'll let you go and then I'll tell you where I'm at.
So we're starting with Giannis?
Yep.
I mean, kind of a no-brainer. I mean, listen, he's 12K. He's way up there. But if I'm going to be playing a 12K guy, I think I want it to be Anthony Davis tonight. That being said, I like it in tournaments because... I mean, again, you've got a guy that's got a, 80-point ceiling? I mean, of course you want that in tournaments. So I don't mind it. But at the same time, like I said, if I'm paying over 12K, I'd like to have, you know, Harden and Anthony Davis.
Yeah, I'm kind of right there with you. I have exposure to Bledsoe. I have exposure to... Middleton and Brogdon, so I can get my exposure to Giannis through them. I'm probably not going to be playing a lot of Giannis tonight. I think he's in play. I think you can, but I don't think that I'm going to be as of right now. Paul George against Cleveland, 9,500. Thank you, FanDuel, for pricing him back up. He's now a decision that you have to make.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, so he's at that price where he still has that ceiling, but he's at 9,500, right? I mean, it's so Paul George, Keith, is the exact reason why I wanted to do the strategy of doing mid-tier at both point guards. So I can go get a Paul George along with like a Harden and maybe AD, depending on how the slate looks out. So that's kind of where my thinking is.
Okay. I'm kind of a little bit opposite of you. I don't like him for tournaments. Mainly because I like Russ a little bit more, obviously. Yeah. But I don't think that at the 9,500 price tag tonight, I'm going to be touching him in tournaments. Now, the one thing, the things I do like about Paul George, I think he's great for cash. I think if you want to fade Giannis and go down to Paul George for cash, then, you know, and you're playing Kemba and John Wall in cash and fading Russ, you know, and you still want to get exposure to this OKC Cleveland game, then yes, I think that's a great start to a great build. I don't think the profit potential is there in this game.
Okay.
Just because of the price. Now, at least on FanDuel, if you sit there and you look at everything and then you look over at DK, he's 8,900. Obviously, he's in play more over there. Now, with everything that he contributes, obviously, he can definitely be tournament. He can definitely put up a 60. And you know that, but I think that the range of outcomes, or not the range of outcomes, but the times he tests that 60 mark aren't as much as I want him to be to get that profit. But like I said, I've said this a million times, it's a 10 game slate. There's a lot that's going to change between now and the time that lock happens. So, he could end up becoming one of my core plays. I don't mind the price. I like it. I like him better, obviously, at 85 or 8,700. But,
sure,
you know, it depends on how much I like the bottom end of this position. And right now, it's kind of bleh. But there's a lot of options that can go for, you know, 7, 8X tonight down at the bottom.
Yeah.
So just the way that it's just the way that my build's going right now. Otto Porter Jr. Oh, sorry. Let's talk about Nikola Mirotic, because I think he could go a little bit overlooked with everybody else in this game.
Probably.
And the way that he's been performing lately, I definitely think he's in play in tournaments though.
Yeah, tournaments all. I agree.
Yep. Otto Porter Jr.
I mean, you're talking about a guy that can go off. You're talking about a guy that almost won me a Q ticket a couple nights ago. I mean, so we know his potential, but I really want to go back to TJ Warren here.
Yeah, I'm kind of along the same lines as you. They're the same price. I think Otto's going to be a little bit higher owned than, you know, for my liking, and so I'm probably going to go right back to TJ Warren. Danilo Gallinari.
Yeah, I mean, it's obviously a great spot, right? It's a situation where if I think that this game's going to be close, I might even just stack Warren and Gallo, right? Not so much if I think. In the builds where I'm building it under the premise that the game stays close, that's what I'm going to do. I mean, they're both in that, you know, 7K-ish range. It's doable. I think they both have enormous ceilings for that price. We've seen it before. It's certainly going to be a fast-paced game. So I like the both of them in that game.
Okay.
And Gallo's been having a monster year, by the way.
Yeah, he has been. I think he's, what, third in free throw shooting percentage this year?
I'm not sure about that, but
he's shooting like 95% or something like that. It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
It's amazing. I'm like, we're talking about Steph Curry type of, you know, consistency there. Rudy Gay?
You know, I think he really let a lot of people down before, for the last slate. But the thing about it is that people may not have been watching. He was on the bench. Pop benched him. He didn't play that much.
Yeah, it was a back end of a back-to-back, too.
Right. And they were getting spanked, and Pop was not happy.
Oh, yeah.
So in true Pop fashion, the unit on the floor isn't getting it done. Wholesale swaps, right?
Yep.
That's what he does. So I don't mind going back. I mean, we have to I'm a little bit leery about a certain comment that Pop made here that has me a little bit concerned. And that is, you know, somebody asked him, hey, you know, anybody resting today? He goes, no. He was like, this is longer than we've ever taken to start resting players in the back-to-back. You know, but, you know, it's definitely coming, is what he said. Now, you know, he's got some older players. And those are the guys that he's going. I mean, Rudy Gay is certainly one of them. Even Aldridge could be one of them, right? Everybody outside of DeRozan, and you know, some of the younger guys like Bryn Forbes and Derek White. But the rest of those guys, I mean, they're all candidates to get popped here soon, and I'm it's just a little bit concerning for me to hear him say that.
Yeah, the good thing about that is that, you know, we don't have, they're not on a back to back. Now that really doesn't matter to Pop. Just want to go ahead and point that out. But you know, they aren't on a back to back. They're not on a front end, they're not on a back end.
Yeah. That's a big deal.
That you know, this is the end of a 4-game Midwest swing. But they go home for 2 games against Houston and Portland. So something to definitely watch out for.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's go below 6K here.
Okay.
Each one more.
So here's the thing about Moore. He's been on fire. All right, let's just call it how it is. He's been on fire. I like to ride the hot hand. I think this is the kind of play that we were talking about earlier where you can get your exposure through other guys to this game. I think Etwan Moore is a perfect example of that.
I think he's a perfect example, and I agree with everything you said except for the he's been hot.
Okay.
Now, I would say 3 out of the last 5 is good, but it's not
sure.
It's not the Etwan Moore type of streak that we've actually seen.
So let's look at some of these games. The game versus Boston, they got spanked. I mean, that game was disgusting.
Oh, no, I agree with that one.
So nothing to look at there. The game prior to that versus Washington, it was a really, really, really close game. He puts up 42. The game before that was versus New York, which was also an ugly game, but he still played 30 minutes, but he didn't do very well. Prior to that, 33.9, 35.6. So, you know, out of the last 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 games, 2 of them were ugly, and the other 3 that weren't ugly, he put up pretty decent numbers for 5,400.
I know, but what I was saying was is it's not the Etwan Moore type of, you know, hot streak that we have seen in the past. So I'm comparing it to, like, him being hot. He's got that bar set up high,
mm-hmm.
and he's not there yet. Now, is he playing very, very good basketball? Yes, I would agree with you on that one, besides the Boston game.
For sure.
That was just, yeah, that was a bad, that's not a good example. But
like,
to see Etwan Moore hot, he's not there yet.
Sure, that's fair.
Like, we've seen him dropping 30s and 40s for and touching 50s for a week and a half, 2 weeks before.
Right. But with somebody out too. That's the big
thing. I would agree with you on that one. So, but yes, I do think that this is one of the overlooked parts of this game, pieces of this game that you can get exposure to.
Mm-hmm.
So, I'm going to hold off my analysis on Jonathan Simmons, Jonathan Isaac until we know for sure about Aaron Gordon.
Okay.
Just because, like, they're both probably going to play the same amount of minutes, but there's a $700 difference between the two. I would probably lean, you know, Simmons if Gordon is out, but then that means that you're going to have to deal with Al-Farouq Aminu. So I'm not too sure how much I like that.
Yeah.
Michael Kidd-Gilchrist.
He's back from his injury. He looked really, really good. I mean, he's still beyond reasonably priced versus a game that you and I both think could possibly get ugly here quick. Could be a few more minutes for him. I mean, I think it's a good spot for him.
Yep.
Considering his price.
So. I actually like him about just as much as I like Wilson Chandler tonight.
Cool. Yeah.
Although the thing that you're going to have to be worried about with Wilson Chandler is if this game gets out of hand, he's probably the first that's going to be see his minutes cut. Just because of his age and, you know, coming off the injury and everything.
Yeah.
So that would be the thing there. Jeff Green, Kelly Oubre, both interesting options for me. Which one is your favorite?
It's probably going to be Jeff Green. I just think Jeff, so since Oubre moved into the starting unit, I mean, he's kind of dropped off a little bit. because he doesn't have as much usage opportunities with the first unit. I mean, you're playing with Wall, Beal, and Otto, right? It's going to happen. So I kind of like Green in the second unit. He's really consistent in his minutes. I saw, Scott Brooks basically say, look, we were trying something different. There was a little stretch there where he didn't play a lot. We were trying something different, but Jeff Green's not going to go back to his normal rotation, which we've seen here in the past couple games. I think you're going to see a lot of Jeff Green in this game. I think you're going to see close to 30 minutes of Jeff Green in this game. So out of those guys, my pick is Green.
Yep, I would agree. All right, let's go to power forward here. We spent a lot of time on shooting for small forwards there. I don't like this position today. when you have Montrezl Harrell at 8,300 and, Markieff Morris coming off the bench at 65 and, Marvin Williams at 53. I don't like this position today. Like it's not. Anthony Davis, obviously, he's in play. Don't need to do a lot of analysis there.
Yeah.
Right now, Rondae Hollis-Jefferson is one of my higher own power forwards.
Interesting.
And that's saying something. When Arich, Noah Vonleh, to me, I think he's priced out. LMA, he's one of those things like if you're pairing him up with DeRozan,
right.
Larry Nance has a great matchup, but if he's gonna see 35 plus minutes, then he's gonna perform. I don't know if there's any way around it. I mean,
yeah, I'm with you there.
I've got him pegged at 38 right now.
38 minutes.
38 minutes.
For who?
For Larry Nance. They're banged up, man. They have...
Listen, he's going to play a lot, but he's going to be really heavily owned. Yes. Really heavily owned.
Yeah, he is. But I think he's too cheap for the amount of minutes.
Yeah, no, he's a good play. Like, yeah. I'm just saying he's going to be heavily owned.
I think if you're... I don't know, I'll put the amount of interest at 10K. If you're playing in a tournament over 10K, then you probably want to go underweight on him.
Yeah.
So, or fade him completely and take your shots.
Yeah.
Wendell Carter Jr. against Milwaukee, his price has come down a little bit. He's intriguing here for me.
Yeah, a little bit.
Jeremy Grant versus Cleveland, I like that. It's not great, but... I might end up just saying screw it and just go to Chief tonight.
You can go to Chief. I don't for people who don't know who that is, that's Salford Kaminu. Phenomenal matchup there. If Aaron Gordon doesn't play, I mean, even if he does play, he's going to get a lot of shots in this game. So, I don't hate it. You're going to hate me. I'm even looking at Rashawn Holmes. Yeah. I've been kind of looking at him all day, and I keep looking, and I'm just like, you know what? He's been putting up consistent over 20 fantasy points every night. And I think, obviously they're going to play Ayton no matter what. But I think that second unit comes in and he's their big. He's a large field play, of course. I'm not going to play him in cash or anything crazy, but I do like him in the tournament format.
I can't believe you're going to talk me into that one. He's not cheap.
He is cheap. He's not minimum price, but he's cheap.
Well, for Rashawn Holmes, he's not cheap.
Well,
he's much cheaper on DK. If I play Rashawn Holmes, I'm playing him on DK.
Gotcha.
Because he's $900 cheaper. Oh man. I guess you could play PJ Tucker at 4,300. Yeah, this position is not ugly or not pretty today, guys. John Collins is up to 72. Are you chasing Markieff Morris? Yeah, I think even I don't care who plays, or I don't care if Dwight Howard is playing or not. I'm not chasing that. I think he'd be a great play if he was cheaper, but he's going to see a lot of Anthony Davis tonight.
Probably.
So, all right, let's move on to centers here. Karl-Anthony Towns, Joel Embiid. I think they're both pretty decent plays tonight. Obviously, you've got to be careful. Clint Capela is up to 9,200. The only way I'd play him is if I'm pairing him up with James Harden. I love the correlation there. I love how they work off the pick and roll. And they work so well together that I want all the points from that. So, we already talked a little bit about Booch. Rudy Gobert versus Brooklyn.
So we talked a little bit about Vooch, but I don't think we talked enough about Vooch. So let's just cover him real quick. To me, I think I really like Vooch,
Okay, let me ask you this. Is your liking of Vooch on the preface that Nurkic's going to be out?
No, it doesn't bother me one way or the other because I don't think Nurkic can really guard him either. I don't. The way he's been playing, I don't know that anybody can guard this guy that right now. He's gotten to his prime. He's beasting every night right now, and it doesn't matter who he plays. Like I was concerned for that Warriors game. I'm like, oh, how is he gonna? Dude, he went crazy. Like he kills the Lakers. He kills everyone in front of him, and he's priced accordingly, right? So I get that. But we've seen Vooch hit 70 this year. Like, that's not something that I don't think I've ever seen him do before. So, he's hitting 50s with regularity. Again, it's still concerning that they're playing a lot of games in a few nights. They're traveling a lot. It's still a concern. But Vooch doesn't seem to care. He just seems to just not give a crap and just beat everybody up. I mean, it's kind of wild to me.
Yeah, he's playing like one of the he's playing like one of the best centers in the NBA right now.
Yeah. And he wants the most improved award. I mean, I that's what I mean. He might get that if he keeps this up.
Yeah, and he just put up a 47 and a half against him end of last month, so.
So yeah, so that I'm still pretty high on him, and again, just I know we're I might even want to play him over Cat, man. I
Oh,
mean,
that's definitely yes.
you know, I mean, it's just yeah, okay. So you asked about Gobert. So I've always been a fan of Gobert and playing him. I just think that he's kind of been. I mean, the team, not just him, have been struggling a little bit lately. I think at some point, they're going to get things back on track, and he's going to start putting up the 50-point games again. And if, what better team against to do that than Brooklyn? I think he's also significantly better with Mitchell on the court, because the defense follows Mitchell and leaves a lot more room for Gobert to do what he does best, and that's clean up down low. So yeah, I mean, you've got Brooklyn's got. Excuse me, got D'Angelo and Dinwiddie and Hollis Jefferson, guys that like to penetrate and drive to the basket. That gives more upside for Gobert on his shot blocking. So I like it. I'm gonna have some shares of Gobert in tournaments for sure.
Yeah, I don't mind it at all. 87 or 8,500 is a little steep on my end, but I don't mind it. Nurkic, I think he's kind of a tough sell right now just because of the shoulder. Yeah. We'll see what happens. He did put up 40 against him, you know, last month, but we'll see what happens. I'm not going back to Enes Kanter.
Nope.
Not at 8K.
Nope.
DeAndre Ayton might be one of my favorite centers of the night.
Yeah.
I don't think anybody on the Clippers can guard him.
Yep.
All right, man. We got to talk about him.
Yeah, we do, especially at that price.
Tristan Thompson.
Yeah. I know.
I'm not doing it.
Not at 7K. I'm not doing it either. No way.
I know what he's done. I've seen what he's done.
Yeah.
And I'm impressed by what he's done.
Yeah, for sure.
If I'm playing Tristan Thompson, it's going to be on DK, where he's, you know, $700 or $800 cheaper. But look, he's going against probably the best defensive traditional big man in the NBA.
Yeah. Yeah.
He has historically not done well against Steven Adams.
Right.
The one game he did do well, I think Steven Adams left.
Hmm. Okay.
He did put up a 56 against him, against the Thunder, last year. Yeah, he only played 27 minutes. And Steven Adams doesn't play 27 minutes.
Yeah.
So, and it was in Cleveland. Like, I'm sorry. You're talking about a Steven Adams that, unless it's a blowout, now they could have been getting blown out. So, but this is a guy that's going to play 35 minutes. You're giving me 35 minutes against Steven Adams, or you're giving me 35 minutes of Steven Adams on the court, I'm going to say that he's probably going to limit a lot of guys, especially with the increased price tag.
But that means more for Larry Nance.
Oh, yeah. So, now, I have Larry Nance, but I'm not playing Steven Adams.
Yeah, yeah. I'm with you.
So that would be where we're kind of talking to him on that one. So, or talking on that one. Jared Allen against Utah.
You know, surprisingly, I actually like it.
I do too.
Yeah, I mean, first of all, he's been having a great season. I mean, he had a little bit of an injury there. He missed a couple games, tops. But, you know, Utah has this. You know, you can't play centers against them. And, yeah, maybe not last year, but it's not that nice anymore like it used to be, defensively. I mean, it's not poor, but it's about average. So I'm doing it. I'm going to have some of them at that. He's the mid-range, mid-price center over all the other ones that I'm looking at.
Yeah, I think it's a tournament play, obviously. Mm-hmm. I like it. I actually like Dwayne Dedmon probably just as equally. Going against Charlotte, you telling me that Cody Zeller is going to body him up? Please.
Probably not.
Probably not touching Brooke Lopez tonight. That would be because of Luce. He's turned me off on Brooke Lopez for tonight. Basically, okay. He says it's a Middleton, Bledsoe, Brogdon type of game. So I'm just like, okay.
By the way, the Suns are releasing Isaiah Cannon. Just letting you guys know that.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome. So, all right. Man, we ran over today. That's going to do it for us today, guys. Sorry for the running over, but we had a lot to kind of talk about. So
Yes, we did.
Yeah. All right, that's going to do it for us today. For Bear, for myself, for the DFS Army, we gone.